everyone, welcome to Banff. I'm your host for today, Alice Pang, Lala Twiddle on the boards. Sorry, Mike couldn't be with us today because the Tooth Fairy Guild summoned him to duty, and so he's currently getting fitted for his wings and his wand. Today, we'll be talking about Aberrant's new edition for Trinity Continuum by Onyx Publishing, and joining our panel today is Steve Kenson, Mr. Superhero Writer Extraordinaire. Okay.
Glad to be here.
Wait, excuse on that one.
Nick Garber, CEO of Apogee Comics. How are you doing, Nick?
Good. How is everyone?
Good. And Brandon Powers, our Banff mascot. Not to be... this became official recently.
creator of nickname.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yes.
Or I'll come and bite you.
More so, there's your mascot. Favorite dog, Ragnarok.
Yep, and we may have a late joining of Ian Watson from Onyx Publishing, so hopefully he makes it on. So, Brandon, why don't you start us off?
Sure. The first and most important question that I have is it aberrant or is it aberrant? Because I hear it both ways, and I'm not certain if one is just pretentious douche-watery or if that is the way I'm supposed to be saying it.
No, but I'm coining that phrase, douche-watery? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a tomato-tomato thing. I've always said aberrant, but I don't know that either one is necessarily incorrect.
All right. So the real thing that I want to do, I unfortunately never played Aberrant, you know. I was poor because White Wolf was taking all my money on their other books. and so a game that was not in the World of Darkness, I simply did not have the coin for. So can we start with first edition and just get kind of a peek into the world, and so therefore we have some basis on what's changed as we go to second.
And for our audience as well, too, not just for...
So very briefly, Aberrant is a near future setting in the Trinity Continuum, where a small... segment of the population develops superpowers, and what happens to the world that follows. Basically, the game is set about 10 years after what's referred to as End Day, which is when the Novas, the people with superpowers, first appear, and what the world looks like after that. It's a fairly cinematic take on, you know, what would the world be like if people with superpowers existed.
Did you say that the event is called M Day?
End Day, like
okay.
Novas.
Because I was going to wonder if Marvel needed to pay you guys a lot of money to use that.
So, and everyone, Ian Watson has joined us. Ian joins us directly from Onyx Publishing as their representative. Welcome, Ian. Glad you got over the internet hiccup. I'm Alice.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, no problem. I'm Alice, your host for today. Mike couldn't make it. And other than Steve, we have Nick Garber. Say hi, please, Nick.
So hello.
And we have Brandon with us.
A wizard is never late. He arrives precisely when he means to, Ian.
Yes.
Even if that's 17 minutes later than everyone else.
Well, that's stylishly, you know, that's a stylish entrance that you're making.
Right.
So, Steve was just telling everyone a bit about the world so that we can understand what changes will be we can expect from the first edition to the second edition. Did you have anything else you wanted to tell us about it, Steve?
Well,
like the different factions, for example? White Wolf's notorious for factions.
I can certainly go into factions. Factions are fairly important in the Trinity Continuum and in the story path system because paths... are a big factor that define who characters are. So one of the paths that defines characters in Aberrant is particularly which, you know, group or faction they're aligned with. The major factions in the setting, real briefly, are Project Utopia, and their Team Tomorrow, which is a worldwide charitable nonprofit organization that essentially is looking to harness the power of all of these people with superpowers in order to save and improve the world. The Terrigen is a philosophical movement that is devoted to the idea that the Novas are sovereign and independent beings whose primary responsibility is to explore the depths of their newfound power and evolve themselves into their sort of highest expression of that potential. The Directive is an international organization working for the United Nations whose job is essentially to act as oversight for all of these new people with superpowers. They have the unenviable job of, basically enforcing the law on, people who can lift tanks and things like that. Factions. The Daedalus League is a favorite of mine. They're a group of Novas and allies who have various capabilities that make them capable of exploring space. And they've decided, hey, since we can fly and teleport through outer space, why don't we go and start seeing what's out there? So they have created a whole new space race and a whole new boon of exploration to be able to start going and seeing what's there.
Cool.
And I think that I've hit on the big ones. What am I leaving out, Ian?
Team Tonight.
Team Tonight, the Elites.
So, Ian, I have a question for you. From my understanding, unlike a lot of superhero games where you get to build different power sets put together, so if I want to fly and I want to do this other, do a different power, it doesn't work that way in Trinity Continuum because you're dealing with quantum energy and it's all on the subconscious level, so everything's thematic, right? So if you say, basically, I am a person of nature, your powers are going to be, I can walk through trees, or I can turn into, or I can change my hand into a tree branch, but you won't be able to access fire or anything like that. Is that correct?
Sort of. Any Nova is theoretically capable of doing anything. They're just sort of limited by their own psychological blocks. Mm-hmm. So the powers you develop when you first become a Nova, when you erupt, as they say, tend to be related to the reason why you erupted. So, for example, the first known Nova, Randall Portman, the fireman, he was a firefighter at like a 5-alarm blaze, and he absorbed all that fire into himself. So that's sort of like his one main power, the energy absorption. But theoretically, maybe he could learn to do something not entirely unlike Iron Man's repulsor blasts, where he's redirecting that energy to shoot it out, or he can use it to fly. So everything sort of branches out of the one sort of thematic reason why you erupted, but there's no reason why you can't have a nature-based Nova being able to fly or do whatever. It's just a matter of how they can sort of rationalize it to themselves.
In a thematic sense. Cool. And right. So is it, do you buy skills and abilities on the DOT system similarly to how you do in a lot of other White Wolf games for people who have played a lot of White Wolf games maybe and not necessarily played Aberrant, or is it going to have significant differences?
It's similar to first edition in that there are different levels of powers, but I don't think we rated them in terms of dots. We did with the mega attributes because everyone mm-hmm. expects attributes to be mm-hmm. rated in terms of dots. Yeah. So the mega attributes follow that. But otherwise, it's just mm-hmm. like, okay, here is a level 3 power. Here is a power that goes from 4 to 6 or whatever.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
so what are some of the changes from first edition to second edition?
Yikes, that's a long list.
See?
Well, what about
the big changes?
Yeah,
big
the changes. Highlight changes. Why are we going to the second edition?
Yeah.
Other than it's been, I think, 20 years.
Well, I was going to say, right, the big number one reason would be like it's been like 20 years. And, the original Aberrant was very much a game of the 90s, in that regard, both in its tone and in its design. And since Onyx Path you know, has their new story path system. Obviously, on the game design side of things, you know, it's bringing Aberrant in line with the innovations in story path and how that system works. And in terms of setting, it's bringing Aberrant up to date. I mean, the original Aberrant game was set in the near future of, you know, 2008. So, you know, it would be a little weird to, you know, do a near future game that's, you know, set 11 years ago at this point.
Yeah, totally get that. Because, and I'm certain some of the countries that are involved in the directive might have gotten changed out and yep. little tweaks like that. Because I think that some of the governments listed in that would no longer fit in the world that in our near future.
Yeah, so. Culture and geopolitics and just, you know, sort of our relationship with superheroes as a genre have all changed.
Yes. So, Nick.
A lot in the last 20 years.
Oh, sorry, Steve. You lagged up and I thought you stopped talking. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
As someone who's never heard of this game before we dragged you in here, do you have any questions on anything you want to know to sell you on this game?
No. When are we playing?
Well, that's a good question. Ian, why don't you tell us a little bit about your current Kickstarter up so that Nick can go and spend more money? We already spent ours.
Well, we currently have the Kickstarter running for Trinity Continuum Aberrant. It does require the Trinity Continuum core rulebook, which is in the final stages of production right now. You can add that as part of the Kickstarter, and it should be available in a couple of months for public purchase. And yeah, it's all the good stuff of the brand new edition of Aberrant. And we've hit something like, I don't know, like a dozen stretch goals already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're at about the halfway mark. We hit the halfway mark on Tuesday and we still have, we're at about 225% funded thereabouts. So we're doing pretty well. And we hope to be doing even better by the time we're done.
Cool. What are some different levels that they can purchase?
The base level is just sort of anyone who's a backer gets to check out the manuscript. So you can see the book in discrete chunks as we proceed through the Kickstarter. So if you see something you like, maybe up your pledge. If you don't like what you see, then you can back out, and that's fine. So the very basic level is just, you know, throw in a buck or five just so you can have a look at the manuscript. Up from that is the PDF level, where you'll get a PDF once we're done. And up from that is a print-on-demand version. And up from that is the traditionally printed version, which is like the POD, but fancier. It's higher quality paper, higher quality binding. That's the version that will show up in your local game stores.
Awesome. And for people who are needing to look that up, that is once again Aberrant for the Trinity Continuum to look up on Kickstarter, Aberrant. AKA Nick is already like typing away. I see. Looking for
yeah,
that.
You already got $55 of my money, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
So what's can you guys tell us a little bit about what makes the Trinity Continuum setting? I know that, or not setting, but system. I know that people can look at some of the other games that you guys have done so far.
Mm-hmm. The Trinity Continuum is the core rulebook is sort of a modern day action adventure sort of setting. The character types are called talents, which are people with an extraordinary degree of skill or luck. So if you want to play the Bourne Identity, or you want to play Leverage, or you want to play Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can play all those sorts of things with the core rulebook. And then the Aeon setting builds on top of that. That's playing Scions in science fiction thing in the 2120s. And then we have Aberrant, which is going to be our supers game in the 2020s. And hopefully this time next year or thereabouts, we'll be doing Adventure with an exclamation point, which is a pulp game set in the 1920s.
And that was an old D6 product of White Wolf's, wasn't it?
No, Adventure. It was D10.
It was D10? Okay.
Yeah.
So for Scion, I'm actually very curious because we used to play the old Scion that actually resided in the White Wolf world. What differences would you say? Because that's actually also a very super heroic setting and engine if people end up wanting to play that. If it's the same or similar Scion to the White Wolf one.
I think we're confusing.
The second edition of Scion, which we recently released. Mm. Yeah, Scion, the Scion that we released, S-C-I-O-N, not P-S-I-O-N.
Okay, different, yeah, because I was like, I heard Scion, I'm like, did you guys just decide to transport it? Because at that point, I was like, I missed the announcement somewhere. I swear I missed the announcement.
In 2007, White Wolf did release Scion, S-C-I-O-N, which is a game where you play the Children of the Gods.
Children of Gods, yep.
We have done a second edition of that with the story path system. That came out last month, I think. So that is available for purchase.
We picked that up already.
Good. That is using the same system as the Trinity Continuum.
Cool.
The Scions from the Aeon setting are PSIONs. They're people who use mental powers to do various
things. There's still a little connection there between superheroes and that. Cool.
This reminds me of a game. We were sitting down. We were going to play D&D, and our friend Paul says, "I want to play a Scion, meaning P-S. Meaning S-C-I-O-N, as in a Scion of a household or something." And he always was talking about the Scionic Handbook, and I want to play that. And one of our other friends goes, "Damn it, Paul, you always want to play a Scion," thinking that he was talking about the class.
Well,
common confusion with these words.
The English language is strange sometimes. Two very different meanings with the same word. Yeah. So, well, that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of Aberrant. Does anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything else?
What is your favorite part of this second edition that makes you think that people need to jump up and go grab it right now?
Oh, that's true. That's a good question.
My favorite parts of the second edition of Aberrant are just the range of options that the game opens up. My favorite thing about, I ran a long Aberrant game, and my favorite thing about Aberrant as a setting is that it is, although it is super heroic and it features characters with superpowers, Aberrant takes a step away from a lot of the traditional comic book approach to things, where comic book superheroes are primarily there to enforce the status quo. They're the ones who are there to stop the villains from doing whatever it is they're doing and just kind of keep things the way they are. Whereas the protagonists in Aberrant are handed all of this tremendous power and basically said, so you can fix whatever you think is wrong with the world, go. And it results in a lot of really interesting stories when the characters are entrusted with that kind of power and then given kind of options, because it is both super easy and super difficult to change the world in a lot of ways. And it really creates some interesting stories that are different from your usual sort of four-color comic book crime fighter fare.
Gotcha. Does that mean that you think that it would be like a good place to run a campaign similar to The Boys?
Yeah, if you were inclined to go with that kind of thing, then yeah, you could definitely do that.
Cool. And Ian?
I like Aberrant does a lot of things differently than a lot of other superhero settings. I like that it does sort of superheroes as celebrity culture, where each superhero becomes not just a celebrity but almost like the center of a cult, almost just because like it's your instant ticket to stardom. It doesn't matter how, like, you only had a dozen people following you on Twitter or Instagram beforehand. As soon as people find out you're a Nova, that's going to explode into the millions. And that is a lot of responsibility to have, like, not just sort of in the Spider-Man sense, but people are going to be scrutinizing every single thing you do, just like a celebrity. You can't have a moment's peace. Like, people are going to be, you know, following you everywhere, taking pictures everywhere.
You'll have your hairstyle, you know, for the day.
Exactly. So that, like, what are you going to do with that kind of power?
Mm-hmm.
When the tagline for First Edition is, "What would you do with the power of a god?" And that's not just talking about, like, being able to, you know, shoot fire out of your ass. That's also talking about, you know, sort of that social cachet where you have all these people who are willing to follow you to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have one more question. For a lot of the White Wolf games, there's a very heavy buy-in on theology and mythos. And I would assume that for this game, it would be very similar. So can you tell us a little bit about the feel of what people should expect when they read and want to run one of these games? The general environmental feel and energy of what would be there, what kind of theology and mythos influences?
Well, I'd say
that, I would say, know, in a lot of ways, for Aberrant specifically, First Edition. Go ahead, Steve.
No, it's all right. Well, you know, in many ways, the mythos of Aberrant is the comic books. You know, it's superheroes and celebrity culture, and that both, you know, works for and against the Novas, because in some regards they're not comic book superheroes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the expectations that people place on them, you know, to be comic book superheroes is challenging. You know, so there's definitely that. And I think that the sort of transhumanist ethos of Terras, the philosophy of the Terrigen, plays a lot of a role in the game, because there's a lot of questions that arise in terms of how much can you change who you are as a being in terms of your capabilities and still be human.
Mm-hmm. Psychologically and physically.
Yes, psychologically and physically.
Because... And speaking, oh, go ahead, Alice.
No, go ahead, Brandon.
Speaking of that, you guys have kind of you know, in Vampire, there was that path of humanity or whatever, and if you hit a 10, which was basically impossible, you transcended out. But in this game, you guys have kind of a power limit built in that as you continue to become your power, you move beyond just being human. And eventually, which I assume would be very hard, your character is basically become something beyond and therefore moves out of being a player character, right?
Yeah, I saw that. You can, as you gain certain points in it, you know, you can grow a tentacle out of your chest or other things, and you start looking weird and scary to people. I thought that was interesting. And it reminded me kind of like Mordheim or some weird West games where you're like, please don't roll that. Please don't roll that when you're leveling. I want to stay a character just a little longer. Don't give me a tentacle on my chest.
Well, the Terrigen do have a system called Chrysalis, where just like a caterpillar sort of dissolving themselves and remaking themselves into a butterfly. The Terrigen literally rebuild themselves, so you can sort of choose, like as they're growing in human, they can choose what form that will take.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to necessarily get random mutations, you're going to pick and choose what you look like, who you are.
Cool.
And how does that that mechanic work? Not necessarily the specific mechanic of it, but the story as you do basically transcend out of being a player character.
Well, essentially, you know, as Novas gain more and more power, they become more and more connected to the fundamental forces of the universe. Like Ian was saying, the limits on Nova's power is really pretty much the limits they've imposed on the battle. And
oh, Steve's starting to break up a little bit.
Steve's currently in a thunders and lightning storm, so if he breaks up a bit, it's all yours, Ian. You have to cover.
Okay. The powers that a Nova has are mostly self-imposed blocks. So as they increase in their transcendence score, their inhumanity, they're also sort of, in a sense, busting through some of those blocks because their psychology is different. So as they reach their transcendence score of 10, at that point, something happens. Maybe they just sort of disperse themselves into the quantum energy that makes up the universe. Maybe they find themselves a new universe. Something happens. They're just not here anymore.
Cool.
That makes me think that Han Solo would be a terrifying Nova because of his famous line. I don't know. I can imagine a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it makes me think that you could totally run a Matrix game like this. They made it out of the Matrix.
Yeah, the way that he was describing the, you know, they move on, it reminded me actually of two things. One was season two of True Blood, where the vampire out in Texas, I think it was, basically is trying to achieve Golconda from Vampire the Masquerade. The other thing was Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen. Mm-hmm. And how he's no longer really concerned with the effect of things on the mortal world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, Dr. Manhattan is a good example of a Nova with higher transcendence.
Which, you know, at that point, you're not really interacting on a level where you're a great PC at that point.
Right.
Now, cool. Can I take my aberrant characters and, you know, put some chocolate in the peanut butter and grab some Scion characters of PSION as well as maybe some Scion characters of SCION and just go to town old World of Darkness style of mixing everything together?
And Aeon.
If you want to use the rules for PSION Scions from Aeon, the system is fully compatible. We expect to some degree that people will be doing that. There are a couple of sidebars specifically for that sort of thing.
Oh, very cool.
But SCION, the systems, they don't exactly match up. I mean, they both run off StoryPath, but it's sort of different incarnations of StoryPath. So you could probably do it, but it's going to take some work on your part.
Cool. This game sounds really interesting. Looking very forward to it.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions or comments before we want to close up?
What about art?
Yes, there will be art.
That's always something. Yes, there will be art.
Oh, that's yes.
Do you guys have anybody you know working on it, or is that you guys are still getting all your contracts laid out on who's doing the art for you?
The art on Kickstarter is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, we have some pieces finished, which we got done in time for the Kickstarter. You can see some of that now by heading to the Kickstarter page. But that's not all of the art for the game. And I think we just hit a stretch goal where we're getting a bump to the art budget. So that means even more art on top of that. So I am not the art director, so I cannot tell you which artists we are and aren't using. But I can say that I really like the art that we have so far.
That's awesome. I really like my question.
I really liked the piece by Michael Montanet. I hope I said the name right, but the piece where the woman has the boy in her hands, in her arms, because she's in a very classic superhero costume, but she's not overdone up here or down there or pin-up-y. So it's actually, and the facial expression is just awesome because you can totally see that rage, that scream. So I really like that piece. I look forward to seeing more art that you guys will have.
So do I.
Well,
I've gotten a good sampling. I would love to see some more. We'd love to do a live play of the system to give people a feel for that. If you guys had enough for us to do that.
Yeah, we would love to do that.
By the time the Kickstarter is done, the entire manuscript should be previewed. Now, it is like a pre-edit version of the manuscript, and there's still some playtesting to be done. Mm-hmm. But what's up there should be fully playable.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us for the for this interview. Did anybody else have any last comments before we hit the green button or red button?
Thank you much, like Alice was saying, thank you much for joining us. It's great to hear some more about the setting. I always felt bad that I didn't get involved in the old Aberrant, since I'm a huge superhero geek.
And I'm a huge White Wolf geek.
Yep, I'm looking forward to seeing it and taking it, trying to knock some wheels off with it.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Please join us on our Discord at discord.me/BAMFpodcast. Also, don't forget to join us on the newly launched BWK Babies with Knives Discord, which is at discord.me/BWK. And look for our YouTube channel, because we already have 4 systems of actual plays up and are constantly adding more.
Also, the Kickstarter page, where else should people go and look for information about Aberrant?
I was just about to say plug that, but...
Outside of the Kickstarter page, people can head to the Onyx Path website, which is theonyxpath.com. Or our Facebook page is facebook.com/theonyxpath. Or more specifically, if you want to dig into the Trinity Continuum game line, facebook.com/Trinity Continuum.
Awesome. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day.